Welcome back to In Your Corner, a podcast by Men's Fight Club specifically for men. We will be covering subjects weekly to address things that men do, things that men shouldn't do, and things that men should aspire to do. All this is designed to encourage men to want to become better fathers, better husbands, better brothers, better sons, and ultimately the leader that they were designed to be. We will bring in special guests to shed light from experience as they speak from wisdom on an unscripted format. So let's hear from the men in your corner. Let's go.
All right. Good deal. Thanks so much for tuning in with us today. We appreciate y'all listening to the In Your Corner podcast. It's just amazing to be able to sit in here in the studio with a guest that I have a lot of respect for and a lot of honor for. I just want y'all to know I've only got to know this guy for less than a year, and it's just been an amazing ride. And I could see that he's doing amazing work in his church, that his people love him, that he's leading the people the right way. And this guy has been a real blessing for us. My pastor gets to hang out with him. I get to hang out with him, and I get to see him interact with a lot of pastors, and that's amazing, especially because everything we're doing is interdenominational, that we're doing this for a kingdom. And so it's just, I've got you here for a purpose. And every time I get a guest on here, I want to be able to talk about a subject that actually pertains to that person. And so without further ado, I want to welcome everybody. This is Pastor Brandon Boone, the pastor of Edgewood Baptist Church here in Hopkinsville, Kentucky.
Man, Will, it's a blessing to be with you. I'm really grateful for the opportunity. Really excited about what you're doing with this podcast and just kind of showing how men from all different walks of life, men from all different denominations, you mentioned that.
Yes.
We just come together. We love Jesus. We love our families. We serve. We do what we need to do. And I'm grateful to be a part of what you're doing here.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, with us, we're a little bit further along in our walk than some people, but not yet as far as we need to be. We're nowhere near the men we started off being. It was a process.
Right.
It's a process. And the good thing about this process is we didn't get here alone. One of my old mentors, Rick Lindenen, he would say this. He said, if you ever see a turtle sitting on a fence post, no, he didn't get there alone. And that's how we're at. Absolutely. We didn't get here alone. But what it took is something very important along the way, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. A subject we're going to talk about today is encouragement.
Excellent. Yeah, I'm excited about this. Now, I don't know if you explain this every time or not, but I literally found out this topic
7 minutes ago.
Yeah. So this is going to be great. I'm excited.
Oh, yes. And so not just with encouragement, I want to talk about what the Bible says about encouragement too, because, you have Barnabas, the son of encouragement.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And that's really where I'm coming from, is what does that principle look like? How do we act that out? One scripture that sticks out to me is spur one another on towards good works. That's encouragement. You know, when you look at the five love languages, the five love languages being gifts, acts of service, words of affirmation, what's the other ones? Quality time, and there's one more. Anyway,
I'm going to let you guess because I can't remember.
The other one's not mine, so I don't have to say it. But physical touch. That was the last one. So when you ask a woman what a man's love language is, they'll always say it's physical touch. But really, the number one for men is most of the time words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation.
And so men need to be encouraged to want to do better. And I think that's very important. I tell the women like this in our church all the time. I say, stop nagging, but be tactical in your nagging. So if I had a woman say to you, why don't you mow that yard, you lazy bum? I mean, just get up off the couch. You're not going to want to mow the yard.
Nope.
But if she comes in and she says, you know what, honey? I love the way you mow that yard. And when you're done, you always blow the grass off the sidewalk and it looks so neat. Now all of a sudden you want to mow the yard.
Absolutely. Totally. Same end result, but different way of getting there.
Absolutely. And so it's very important that, that we encourage people along the way. If we really want the good works to come out of them, we got to encourage them. Men aspire to be inspired.
Hold on. I got to write that down. Aspire. That was good stuff, man.
And it is true. And we're always looking for somebody that's an inspiration. That's the reason why men follow men.
Well, and I think there's also that part where when we don't see something, we don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. Right. And so a lot of men, we want to be better fathers. We want to be better husbands, but we don't have an example of that to see, or we don't have, back to the topic, we don't have the encouragement from others to be that. Our culture is telling us men are buffoons, men are worthless, right? They're a paycheck, and then they come home and sit on the couch. You know, like all of these things that our culture is telling us, we have a golden opportunity as men of God to both live and show a different example, but also to encourage others to be more than what society says we can be, to be more about more than just Sunday NFL, to be more than just our hobbies, to be something that glorifies Christ, that blesses our neighbors, right? To be something more. And I think that that is a golden opportunity for the church. As expectations lower in the culture for men, the church should not match that. We should be raising those expectations, encouraging one another to get there.
That's right. And I think the flip side of that, like you're talking about, the world is encouraging men to be lazy.
Yep.
The world's encouraging men to be feminine. The world is encouraging men to step out of their own households. They're encouraging them to be selfish. And so what's happening is men have forgot how to be men. Mm-hmm. And since they forgot how to be men, they have no aspiration to do better.
Right.
You know, if you look at our military, the way the military always ended up, our military ended up strong, is they actually followed strong leaders.
Right.
So they could be like, hey, man, look at George Patton. You know, I want to model after this to be that kind of a tank commander. You know what I'm saying? And so they had somebody to look up to. Now there's none of that. And so now you got, you know, the age of video games, which I like video games. I play them too. But if my goal is only to get a high score and I have nothing else to aspire to be, then something's wrong. You know, you got to have something outside of that, especially like nowadays we have no reason to leave the household. A lot of young boys don't ever play outside.
Right.
They don't have no imagination. They have nothing to look forward to because now the video game has become the parent. The TV has become the parent. The iPod, the iPhone, those have become the parent because the parents don't want to be bothered with the kids.
Right, right. Well, and I don't know if that's unique to this generation in that the parents don't want to be bothered with the kids. You look back at previous generations and kids were there to be seen and not heard. You know, they were very much kind of sidelined. That's not anywhere close to what Jesus intends, right? Let the little children come. Unless you're like a child, you can't enter the kingdom. Right, we need to elevate that and provide opportunities for boys, especially, I think, as we're talking about men here, for boys to be involved, to be part of that life, be part of what's happening in dad's world. Or, you know, a lot of boys growing up without dads in the home, right? That's a great opportunity, again, for the church to be there and to provide that for them. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that there's a lack of examples, so much as those examples are so much, they're just covered over with everything else happening in the culture right now.
Yes.
Right? So you talk about, you know, great commanders and military men looking up to and following them. There are men of God in the local church, but because they're men of God, they're quiet, right? They're not going to toot their own horn. They're not going to, you know, puff themselves up. But if you look for them, they're there.
Oh, yes.
And I think that if we would just take a moment, and instead of looking to social media, for example, for those people that we're looking up to, if we would just take a moment and look around in our local church, we would see the men that we want to be. You know, I had a dad who was in the home, who was a great provider, who was wonderful. My dad is my hero. I tell people that all the time. Not everybody had that experience. But it wasn't just my dad who was teaching me, encouraging me to be a man. Mm-hmm. There were men in the local church who, for whatever reason, whatever sphere of life that they were in, they were open to speaking into the life of some idiot kid like me. You know, I was dumb. I was prideful. I was a mess. Mm-hmm. And yet there were men who were willing to say, hey, you know, let's not do it this way. Wait, let's do it this way. Galen Fluke. I would not be in ministry today if it were not for a man named Galen Fluke, because I preached a sermon on a youth-led Sunday. It was the worst experience of my life. It was the worst experience of everybody in the congregation's life. And afterwards, he came up and said, that was a blessing to me. Thank you, brother. And that changed.
That little bit of encouragement.
Little bit of encouragement completely set me on. Now, he was not the only one. There was a pastor who actually let me preach, you know, Clint Henry, who invested in me more than I can even share, you know, like who spent time and who would take me along with him to events and let me see his prep, you know, for sermons and that kind of stuff. Like, that was huge too. And so we have those men in the local church, and we just got to be faithful to look for them.
Absolutely.
Right. And they're not, they're probably not going to jump out. They're probably not going to stand up and want to be recognized. So you got to be kind of intentional about looking for those men who can encourage you. Now I find myself in the place, and you'll understand this, Will, we're starting to get a little gray in our beards a little bit.
Little.
Yeah, a little bit. We're finding ourselves in that role where now we might be an example for somebody else. And I think there's some intentionality the other way. Having been blessed by encouragers, now we ought to be encouragers ourselves and have our eyes open and looking for those men who we might be able to speak into and to help grow and guide. Again, not because we've got anything to offer, but because Christ has done something in us.
Yeah.
And he's doing something in them. And absolutely, together we can see God do more in all of us.
Absolutely. I think it moves, like you're saying, these guys are in the church. And the guys that really need to teach are not going, hey, follow me. It's me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So there's times in my life, like I didn't have a really good father figure growing up. I had a dad that was a good provider, but he wasn't really a dad. He was my stepdad, which, I mean, I honor him. I give him props because, you know, he was there when I had nobody. I didn't meet my biological father until I was 39 years old when I met him. And he just really was not a dad in my life. And I got 4 good years with him, and then I had to bury him and had to help him with his funeral and stuff. But I wasn't mad at the 39 years I lost. I was thankful for the 4 years I got. And I never even talked about why. You know, why in the world was he not around? And I'm still appreciative to my stepfather today. He's just a hard man, you know, and he doesn't understand life the way I do. And then really what it come down to is I found out his dad was hard, even harder than he was. So people love how they've been loved most of the time. Our biggest problem is he never went through a life of encouragement. So he had a hard, hard dad. Then he went into the military and became a harder man. Mm-hmm. You know, and so his type of leading was always military. So he treated us like we was part of a platoon, you know, so it's a little bit different. Yeah. So he doesn't understand that kind of encouragement. Now, I grew up with that. But the time I had my first child, I automatically, it was like a light switch that went off. I don't want my kids going through what I went through. And so I could either be super bitter and blame my parents for everything, or I could say, these are things I liked. These are things I don't like. These are the things I missed out on. These are things that I wish I had. And I could start being that for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I could either keep on waiting for a hero to show up, or I could just become one for somebody else.
Right.
And that's really what it is. And without the Bible, I wouldn't even know how to do that. You know, that's where I got my inspiration. That's where I got my motivation. And when I started discovering people like Barnabas, because Paul is very important. And the fact that he poured into Timothy was very important. But if he didn't have Barnabas, we wouldn't have a Paul.
Absolutely. Barnabas is actually, so I don't remember how long ago it's been. We preached through, the pastors at Edgewood preached through the book of Acts. And I always am drawn to the figure of Barnabas. Right? Like, he is incredible. You're right. Paul would not have been Paul had it not been for Barnabas speaking up in the midst of the church. Here's this guy who was just persecuting us. Here's this guy who wanted to eradicate the gospel and the Christian movement. But hey, guys, we should let him in, right? Because I think he's been changed. Barnabas does that for John Mark, right?
Yes.
Paul is a pretty all or nothing guy. And when John Mark drops out of one of the journeys, and then the next one comes around, Barnabas is like, hey, let's take John Mark with us. And Paul's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
And Barnabas says, I stood up for you. I'm standing up for him too.
That's right.
Now, can you imagine that? Barnabas standing up to Paul to encourage this nobody, this nothing, John Mark, right? It's pretty incredible when we think about that encouragement that Barnabas represents.
But, you know, being an encourager also brings along respect with it, because Paul knew who Barnabas was. He knew that he was there for him. He knew he had his back. He knew he had the best interest in his mind. So he could respect Barnabas, even when Barnabas says, hey, dude, you know, no.
Yeah.
Because when if you got enough sense to bring encouragement, to push somebody towards good works, you also got enough sense to say, hey, hold back a little bit. You know, don't go that direction. Because that is also encouragement to know that, hey, this guy is going to also not allow me to fail.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Well, and I don't know that their relationship was devastated by that. I think there was still that ongoing respect. Mm-hmm. Being encouragement an encourager does not mean that you're weak. Barnabas was not weak at all. Mm-mm. He took a stand when he needed to take a stand, you know, like every other Christian there in the early days. It was tough sledding to stand up in a culture that had no concept of a God who would die for his people, had no concept of, you know, this kind of lifestyle of community that they were talking about, where instead of your allegiance being given primarily to your biological family, your allegiance is now given to this spiritual family. Mm-hmm. The culture just had no idea, and it took some strength for Barnabas to do that. It'll take strength today if we want to be encouragers. I think that's why it's a biblical command. We're not just encouraged to encourage. We're commanded to encourage one yes. another. Therefore, let us encourage one another. Right? That's got the tones of a command. That's pretty strong language. This thing matters.
Yes, it does. I mean, I look at, like, if you take any kind of sports arena and you take the game, let's just say football, okay, you got encouragement at so many different levels. You got your cheerleaders that are there for when you're scoring. You know what I'm saying? You're like, man, this is great. You know, you know, they're cheering you on. They're getting the whole crowd behind you. But then when you're sitting on the bench and you're exhausted, you got the water boy. Hey, drink this. You're going to be okay. Hey, get back in the game. You need to be replenished. Hey, go ahead and get them electrolytes. Then you got the guy over there that's massaging your shoulders. Hey, look, just loosen up. It's going to be okay. Then you got your coach. Dude, get your head out your butt. Let's go, man. Just get, you know, but that's still encouragement. Hey, you're in this fight. Just get in there. Dig in. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. That encouragement comes from so many different levels and so many different forms that if we don't understand it, we'll look at some of that as being discipline and correction instead of what it really is. It's encouragement and guidance to actually push you towards success.
Yeah, and I think that recognizing the different tones mm-hmm. fit the different roles.
Absolutely.
Encouragement shifts, as you just pointed out, by the role. The cheerleader's one form of encouragement, the water boy's another, the coach is another, your teammates are another. Mm-hmm. Right? And recognizing what role we're in each relationship, I think is helpful.
Yes.
You know, the idea of encouragement being something that's not just top down or not just bottom up, not just side to side, it's all of it. Mm-hmm. I can encourage people who I'm leading. I can encourage people who are leading me, right? I'll never forget one of the best examples of this for me was when I had a professor at school say, right, one of the best things you can do for, this was a preaching class. We're all preaching, you know, class of preachers, and we're practicing preaching to each other. And he said, one of the best things you can do is just look at the speaker and nod your head from time to time.
Oh, yes.
That is the most encouraging thing you can do. I was like, that's nothing. It doesn't take me any effort to look at the speaker and nod my head. And he's like, but I'm telling you, that will encourage them more. And then I realized, as then I had to get up and preach, that, yeah, when somebody's looking at you, when they're nodding their head, that is encouraging. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be this grand gesture, right? It can be as simple as the water boy with the water. It could be as simple as just nodding with the speaker. But being able to be mindful of the fact that we need to be encouraging others, I think is key.
Oh, yes. You know, I look at that even with prayer. When a person goes to the altar, you know, they're up there for a reason. And you just go up there and put your hand on their shoulder, all of a sudden, and like magnifies what they're there for.
Yeah.
And that encouragement is really making it to where they just want to pour out. You don't even have to say nothing. It's just being there and just that simple touch. Hey, I got my hand on you, you know. No different with your kids. When your kids, they're having a rough day, you just go and, you know, just pull them close to you. Let them sit up in your lap. That's really what we're talking about, because encouragement is really a form of affirmation. And affirmation from the Father is really what we're all seeking. And so we're just implementing what the Father's giving us. We're just trying to turn that back into somebody else. You know, we're trying to give it to somebody else. And if we look at them as children, as spiritual children, hey, how can I guide them? How can I direct them? How can I push them towards the right thing? You know, what can I do to spur them on to good works? You know, and it's reciprocal, because the one you encourage today may be the one you need tomorrow.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is a give and a take. It's both sides coming together for mutual benefit. And I think too often we have this kind of transactional approach to relationships. What am I getting out of this? What am I required to give into this? Without thinking about the fact that it's not just transactional. There is a accelerating part of relationships where it's like, not only I'm putting 10 in, he's putting 10 in, but we're getting 100 back.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's exponential. If you go into a relationship, instead of saying, what am I getting from this? What am I giving in this? You go in and you say, hey, we just need each other. It's amazing to see what God can do with that in bringing everything up to levels you didn't even think were possible because of that mutual relationship. It's, you know, we talk a lot about men being independent, right? Or being loners. You hear those kind of terms a lot. But I think the biblical call for us, and really God's intention for us, is a life of interdependence, right? There's times when you need me. There's times when I need you. It's not a transaction. Nobody's keeping score, but let's encourage one another as long as the day is called today for Christ and for the good of our community, good of our family, good of our church, whatever.
Oh, yes. You know, in reality, not all of us are going to be a Paul. Sometimes we're not always going to be a Timothy, but we all have the ability to be a Barnabas.
Absolutely.
We all do. And I think if we're going to be anything, at least be that. At least be that. Because that could put you in all kinds of positions for just pushing somebody else towards greatness. Mm-hmm. We never know who we're interacting with. We don't know who the next Billy Graham would be. We have no idea when the next, you know, Tim Tebow is, or whoever we aspire to push into these roles. But all we could do is be light when we're supposed to be light. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it's a soft voice. Sometimes it's like, man, good job. Sometimes, like you said, it's a head nod. And sometimes it's an all-out, you know, cheering, clapping. You bring in a marching band if you have to, you know. I'll never forget. Right. You remember seeing a movie? I was sharing this with Pastor Vince the other day. You remember seeing the movie Knight's Tale?
Yes.
Okay.
Heath Ledger and Jackie Chan?
You know, it was Heath Ledger and wasn't Jackie Chan. It was it had the dude, what's his name? Paul. He's the one that plays, I'm trying to think of his last name now. He's the one that plays Vision in the Marvel movies. But anyway.
I'm not a movie guy. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm trying hard here.
But anyway, that dude, Paul, he plays this basically a hype man. I was talking to my pastor. I said, I always wanted to do this just to mess him up, you know. But just before he gets ready to preach, instead of saying, hey, here's Pastor Brandon Boone, good friend of mine, you know, like our introduction here, he'd get on there and goes, listen, the preacher of all preachers, the man of all men, just really builds this thing up and then just gives it to him. I was like, can you imagine what would it be in them days to be able to pull that into here? And these people are like, who the heck is this guy?
Right.
Just really go over the top to announce somebody. And I was thinking that would be hilarious with do something like that, have a hype man there. But it's overkill. Yeah. But at the same time, at my church, for some reason, my pastor, he's a character. For some reason, he got me a theme song. So when I get to preach, they got this theme song going. It's so terrible, but so hilarious. And it gets the whole crowd laughing. And I get up there, and really, I'm almost embarrassed. But at the same time, it like deflates the room. It actually makes it to where I'm encouraged to go ahead and speak, because I'm just like, hey, we're just regular people up here talking to regular people. And if they can all laugh, I can laugh too. Let's go for this.
Yes. You know, I think that encouragement requires a certain amount of willingness to laugh at ourselves.
Oh, yes.
You know, like just a willingness to be a fool for Christ. You know, that aspect of encouragement is one that I've come to appreciate. Is I can't encourage somebody if I'm trying to be something.
Yeah. Right?
Like I can't, if I'm trying to put on airs, if I'm trying to be more than I actually am, I'm not going to be able to encourage somebody to be what God intended them to be. I just need to be who God made me to be. And then as I see others and see the way the Lord is working in their lives, I can encourage them to be who the Lord made them to be. And it's not a competition. It's not a show. You know, it's just real life and all of us pursuing Christ as best we can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the main thing is, it's trying to push them in the right direction. Be like, you know, today was a bad day, but tomorrow you got a whole new start.
Yeah.
You know, today was, you know, subpar, but, you know, your only competition is really yourself. All you got to do is just do better tomorrow. You know, like you said, it's not competition. It's not even comparison. Don't worry about what he did or she said. Let's go ahead and start tomorrow. Let's push this on through. And I think that's very important, getting these people to understand, hey, we're not complete. None of us are. None of us are. But yet we could all aspire to do better.
Absolutely.
And we can encourage each other along the way. And I think that's very important. So, Pastor, I appreciate you so much coming in here talking about encouragement. I really enjoyed this. You're definitely the man for it. I think you're a great encourager.
Greatly appreciate your encouragement of me, and thanks for the opportunity.
Well, I don't mind lifting you up, but you might be able to change your mind after you hear these questions.
So, oh, yeah, you did warn me about this.
Yes, so we're going to
put the pen down.
We're going to do this called Surviving the 10 Count, and we're going to see how far you make it. And but these are some great questions, and like I said, whenever I ask them, you just go ahead. The first thing that comes to your mind, that's the answer. And they're going to be good ones. And
oh, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Now, the only answer you can't use is Jesus if you're asking for a person, because that's everybody's go-to, okay? So you can't say that one.
Okay.
Okay, so go quickly. If you had a superpower, what would you want it to be?
Flight.
That's mine, too. I like that. Person that you'd like to meet, past or present, not Jesus.
Not Jesus. See, I wish you would leave the not Jesus part off. Man. Yep, I don't know on that one.
No, you don't know. Okay.
I don't know.
All right. What's the worst way to die?
Awake.
That's good. One trend that's going on right now you wish would stop.
Social media.
Oh, great one. Great one. What's the one thing you enjoy doing the most?
Reading.
Reading. That's a good one. That's one thing I wish I could do a lot more of and better. What would you rather do, go on a mission or help send someone else?
Go on a mission.
There you go. That's a good one. If you had the ability to bless someone with a substantial amount of money, who would it be?
Someone in need.
There you go. One household chore that you hate the most?
Dishes.
There you go. What's your favorite drink?
Coffee.
Coffee. Besides the Bible, what's your favorite book?
Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Who's your favorite actor?
See, I already said I'm not a movie guy. John Heder.
Oh, he's a good one. I actually got to meet him.
That's awesome,
great.
Man.
That's great. What's that one moment in your life that you could look back and say that you realized you as a man amongst men?
Probably the birth of my children.
There you go. That's a good one. Who's that one person that no matter what, you call him at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, show up with a shovel and trash bags, no questions asked?
It'd be my dad.
There you go. That's a good one. What's that one line, single advice that you would give your teenage self?
Don't worry what other people are thinking about you. They're not.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. What's your favorite song of all time that if it was to play over and over again, you could live with it?
Every Power Wide Awake by John Van Dusen.
There you go. There you go. And what's the one item that your family says you can't live without?
It's going to be coffee again.
Coffee. Who is your most influential person?
And Jesus is not an option?
Not an option.
It'd be my wife.
There you go. Now, what's your worst fear?
Failure.
Failure. Mm-hmm. And failure's not an option.
Not an option.
How about that? Well, hey, man, appreciate you. You've actually survived the 10 count. We thank you so much for being
here.
Thanks,
Will.
Yes, sir.
So there you have it, man. Thank you for letting us be in your corner today. I pray you continue to stay connected to us each week as we cover a new subject with other godly men who want to see you succeed. Don't forget to check us out at mensfightclub.net and also on Facebook at Men's Fight Club. To make sure you don't miss out on any up-and-coming topics, like and subscribe if you enjoyed what you heard. If you would like to join in supporting Men's Fight Club, click the link to donate. Remember, who you are and what you do are important to the kingdom. No one is meant to fight alone. Stay strong, stay connected, fight on.